Campus FM jippreżenta 50 u waħda. L-istorja ta' Malta tul daw l-aħħar 50 sena mingħajr il-Malta Historical Society. Prezentazzjoni u produzzjoni Sergio Grech. Nsemmilkom nilqakom għall-programm ieħor minn din is-sensiela tagħna 50 u waħda. Matul dawn il-ġimgħat qegħdin nisimgħu lectures li ġew imxandra jew li ġew organizzati nistgħu ngħidu fl-okkażjoni tal-50 anniversarju mill-kisba tal-indipendenza ta' Malta mill-Malta Historical Society. Huma lectures li ħarsu lejn diversi aspetti tal-ħajja tagħna, tal-kultura tagħna, tas-soċjetà tagħna kif żviluppaw f'dan il-perjodu ta' 50 sena. 50 sena bla dubju interessanti. Li barra l-indipendenza raw ukoll ir-Repubblika u raw ukoll l-eluq tal-bażi Ingliża f'pajjiżna u s-ħubija fl-Unjoni Ewropea. Dak bejn wieħed u ieħor nistgħu ngħidu huma l-iktar erba' tappi importanti fl-istorja ta' dawn l-aħħar 50 sena. L-ewwel parti tal-programm tagħna llum għandna lecture interessanti ħafna mill-professur Robert Girlando fejn fil-fatt ser ikollna l-opportunità biex nenfasizzaw biex nitfgħu l-lenti tagħna fuq l-importanza tat-teknoloġija. U kif din l-imbirka teknoloġija li tant hija importanti fil-ħajja tagħna li tant ma ngħixux mingħajrha żviluppat f'pajjiżna tul dawn l-aħħar 50 sena. Hija firxa wiesa' għalkemm dan is-suġġett ma tantx nistgħu ngħidu li ġie trattat ukoll għal dik li hija storja. Forsi xi kultant ninsew li fl-aħħar mill-aħħar kollox għandu storja. Aħna hawnhekk qegħdin inxandru minn fuq radju u t-teknoloġija fil-qasam tar-radju nistgħu ngħidu li żviluppat u nbidlet radikalment f'dawn l-aħħar 50 sena. Llum diffiċli nejxu mingħajr it-teknoloġija, però ma nindunawx li dik it-teknoloġija fisret żvilupp. Illum ma nejxux mingħajr it-teknoloġija, ibda mid-djar tagħna spiċċa fl-iskejjel, fil-fabriki, fit-toroq, fil-knejjes, fil-klabs tad-divertiment, insomma t-teknoloġija hija parti mil-ħajja tagħna ta' kuljum. U f'din il-lecture interessanti, il-professur Robert Girlando jagħti ħarsa lejn l-iżviluppi l-iktar importanti nistgħu ngħidu f'dawn l-aħħar 50 sena ta' indipendenza. U għalija wkoll din il-paper ħossija importanti għaliex anke tista' tibda tpoġġi il-pedamenti għal dawk li fil-futur qatt iridu jiktbu u jirriflettu dwar kif żviluppat it-teknoloġija f'pajjiżna.
In this paper I explore some of the developments in technology that have taken place in Malta since independence. As I was 17 years old in 1964, this is partly an eyewitness account. Undoubtedly, some of the technological developments in the last 50 years have been due to the advances in the field of electronics, and in particular microelectronics. Starting just after the Second World War, we progressed from the vacuum tube to the transistor and then to the integrated circuit and now the microprocessor. I once said that I believe that technology often develops in quantum leaps. The transition from the thermionic valve to the transistor was one such leap. Whereas there was a limit to how small a thermionic valve could be made, the limit for the transistor is, at least in theory, of a few atoms. This means that transistors can be made very small indeed. In fact, they and other electronic components were made small enough to fit into a single chip, the integrated circuit. Further miniaturization led to the microprocessor. Other quantum leaps were the move from analog to digital, the laser, and the use of fiber optics which allowed information to be transmitted at the speed of light rather than by the speed with which electrons could move down a copper wire. All this increased enormously our ability to collect, transfer, process and store information, including carrying out complex mathematical calculations, as well as to communicate and network more widely and faster than ever before, with very wide repercussions in almost every sphere of society. Perhaps this is something that the non-technical people don't appreciate, but the availability of ever more powerful computers is helping engineers to carry out very sophisticated design calculations and simulations, and thus designing machines and structures that are more reliable, more efficient and safer, and can do so much faster than before. Besides ICT, another driving force for change has been the increasing awareness that we have to stop abusing the environment. Taking measures to mitigate environmental problems created by human activity is nothing new, but it is only in the second half of the 19th century that ever more stringent regulations have been introduced to reduce the impacts on the environment. This has led to a number of interesting technological developments. In Malta, these include the engineered landfills at Tazweira and Dalis, I've pinpointed the size of the truck there in the red circle to give you an idea of the size of this and perhaps to scare you. We need another site that size in about 5 or 7 years' time. And goodness knows wherever we're going to put it. Anyway, other technological improvements in this area has been the installation of regenerative thermal oxidizer at Martup to burn off the gases being drawn out of the dump through specially built wells, and that sun tanning facilities to recycle waste and to produce from organic waste, compost, and the gaseous fuel, which is used to produce electricity and heat. An industry has now grown around recycling, including the recovery of precious metals from discarded electronic boards. Soon after the end of the Second World War, it became clear that Malta's economy could no longer rely on British military spending. Instead, Malta would have to start earning its living mainly from industry and tourism. It was recognized that to progress, Malta needed to upgrade its infrastructure, especially in supply of water and electricity. One of the most important decisions taken at the time was to build a power stroke water station at Marsa, just outside the underground station that was inaugurated on the 5th of December 1953, and which replaced the first power station erected there around 1895 at the bottom of Crucifix Hill. The older station at Marsa, the A station, had marked a very important step in Malta's electricity history, as it coincided with the change in the frequency of the system from 100 Hz to the 50 Hz we still use today. In 1965, the capacity of the A station was increased by the addition of a Fiat gas turbine generator, which was a new technology for Malta, considering that previous generators were driven by steam turbines or diesel engines. The Marsa B station, which is the one that is in process of being closed down, inaugurated in 1966, was steam driven, except for a gas turbine installed in 1990. The steam boilers installed between 1983 and 1987 were coal-fired, since coal is cheaper than oil, but this was an environmental disaster and was stopped in 1995. The new Delimara station, inaugurated in 1994, was initially equipped with steam boilers and turbines, followed by two gas turbines. A new technology, a combined cycle gas turbine set, was commissioned in 1999. The recent BWSC plant consists of diesel engines, nothing new. What is new is the fact that their exhaust heat is used to produce steam to drive a turbine, and most importantly, they are fitted with emission control equipment. The Delimara station is all computer controlled, whereas Marsa was obviously not. However, over time, NMALT engineers were able to computerize some of the Marsa boiler control systems using PCs and appropriate actuators. The Marsa B station was conceived to produce water besides electricity using multi-flash distillers. The first was installed in 1967, with another three in 1969 and another one in Gozo in 1971. These remained in operation until 1973, when they were stopped on economic grounds. This led to the water shortages of the 70s, until the government revisited desalination, but this time using the innovative reverse osmosis technology with the building of the Arlapsi plant. The first unit train of this new plant, which was claimed to be the largest in the world at the time, was officially inaugurated on the 31st December 1982. This was followed by new plants at Marsa and Tinier, now both closed down, and later Chikewa and Pembroke. Reverse osmosis can be very energy intensive. Our engineers have made great efforts to recover much of this energy, first by employing turbines and lately using a very interesting and most novel technology of pressure exchangers. At the same time, other technological improvements in the water supply were the replacement of our metal-based network by plastic piping, the introduction of pressure control valves to reduce pressure when not required, thus reducing leakages from the system, and the introduction of SCADA control of the system. In 1964, we already had jet engine aeroplanes, such as the de Havilland Comet, which made its first flight to Malta from London on the 18th February 1960. Flight time was 3 hours, same as today. Although I suspect passengers had some more legroom than now, and were certainly not hassled by today's security measures. We were also served by turboprop engined planes, such as the Vanguard and Viscount, and I know them quite well because I use them frequently to come home from Liverpool, which took some 4.5 hours to fly from London to Malta. The most important revolution in maritime transport, however, has been in fact technologically extremely simple, namely the introduction of the standard 20-foot and 40-foot containers. What could be simpler? Loading and unloading ships became simpler and faster, with ships spending less time in port. This and the departure of the Royal Navy is why Grand Harbour now looks so empty. Computerization has led to better design of ships and their control systems and improved navigation aids. So much so that the Palace Signal Station, known as Iturretta, from which all shipping traffic in and out of Grand Harbour was controlled for decades, was replaced in 2008 by a vessel traffic management information system comprising a network of 8 radars, automatic identification system stations, VHF communications directing finders, weather stations around Malta, 12 CCTV cameras, and control rooms at AFM headquarters and Transport Malta in Marsa. In 1964, our means of communication were letters, fixed-line telephony, telex, and the telegraph. The fixed-line telephone had just been upgraded from manual exchanges to automatic ones. In fact, the inauguration of the Rabat Exchange in September 1963, completing the changeover from manual to automatic. The exchanges were based on electromechanical systems, which were replaced by a digital exchange in 1975. Charges were per call, irrespective of duration. Overseas calls were still handled through the operator and were charged by the minute. They were considered rather expensive, and so were restricted to occasions where a letter or telegram would not do. Of course, in 1964, we did not have mobile phones, which were introduced in Malta by Telecel, now Vodafone, in July 1990. Malta was first connected to the international telex network on the 3rd October 1962, by means of which one could transmit and receive typewritten messages via teleprinter. This was followed by the facsimile or fax machine. Since this uses the fixed telephone lines, it did not require any changes to the national infrastructure. Fax machines are still available and usable, but their use has decreased considerably as they have been replaced by computers and internet. They are, however, more secure than the latter, as they provide a direct line link over a telephone line rather than sending messages over the internet. Government Management Systems Unit, MSU, introduced internet to Malta in 1995 when it set up the first node. By the year 2000, Malta already had 26,000 subscribers, and then came the present, which you all know too well. Although the invention that revolutionized photocopying, namely Xerox, came to Malta as early as 1958, it took some time before it became as widespread as it is today, due to its cost. For quite some time, a cheaper way of producing multiple copies was by typing the document on a wax stencil and then using the stencil to print the machine in a Gestetner machine, so named after its inventor. In 1969, I reproduced my master's thesis by Gestetner, but Xeroxed my PhD thesis in 1974. When I joined the Czechoslovak factories in the early 80s, we were still using stencils for almost all our memos and circulars, 1980. With a quick calculation, I established the number of copies below which it was cheaper to photocopy and vice versa, and thus I opened up the more frequent use of photocopier in these factories. In 1964, we had three television stations, Rai Uno, Rai Due, and Malta Television, MTV, which had started transmissions in 1962. All transmitted in black and white for a few hours a day, in the afternoon and evening. Reception was via an aerial, so Malta's rooftops became a forest of steel and aluminium. Since MTV did not have any outside broadcast facilities in 1964, a team from Rai, complete with all the necessary equipment, was engaged to televise on the local station three major events at the independence celebrations. The same arrangements were made for the Queen's visit in November 1967. MTV became TVM, acquired its own outside unit in February 1976. The Maltese had to wait some years before they could have color television, the importation of which was banned in 1971. Although Italy started color transmissions officially on the 10th February 1977, the ban was not lifted until 1981, the year the local station started transmissions in color. The purchase of a TV set was through a state-owned company that had a monopoly on the market, until it was liberalized after the change of government in 1987. Cable television services started in 1992, 3 years after the closing down of cable radio on the 31st January 1989. Cable radio, formerly Rediffusion, had provided an audio service via cable against subscription, or rather two services, one local in Maltese and the other from the BBC, since its establishment in 1935. According to Professor Joe Brincat, Rediffusion played a very important role, especially in its first years, in safeguarding the Maltese language. In 1964, computers were still some years away. Counting departments could rely on mechanical calculators, whereas engineers and scientists relied on the slide rule. This was my computer. I shall not dwell on the recent and current state of computer technology, but I shall relate my own personal experience of computers, history from a user's point of view. When I joined MCAST, stroke university in 1965, we had no computers, and one of the first things I bought myself as a student was a slide rule. My first encounter with computers was at Liverpool University, where I had gone for my master's right after graduation. I learned Algol, a programming language, although Fortran was then the dominant language. We had no software packages. We could use pre-programmed routines, but when I once tried one of these, I found it easier to write my own program. I never actually saw the machine I was using. We would submit our program on paper, tape, or cards, and a few hours later collect the result in a form of a sheaf of papers, but an online service was also available. Towards the end of my stay there, the department set up a computer lab with a PDP-8 machine. We had no monitors. We communicated with the computer via a teleprinter. We would type a line of program and wait for the computer to type out a response, and so on until the end of the program and the computation. Computer memory was also limited, as it depended on magnetic core memory, which was based on tiny magnetic toroids or rings through which wires were threaded. The construction was labor-intensive, and this induced Plessy to set up a factory to make them in San Juan in 1969, employing up to 630 workers. It closed down in 1981, as magnetic core memory had by then been replaced by semiconductor memory. My first job in 1974 was with GI Malta Limited, a manufacturer of electronic components and the leading industrial enterprise at the time. We did not have any computers in the factory. However, at GI, we designed and built much of our equipment in-house, using the latest electronic devices at the time, namely integrated circuits. I left GI in 1979 to join Dowkin, now Trelleborg, who had a computer department with a mainframe machine, programmers using COBOL and data entry clerks. My only encounter with this department was when I developed a new Cosmic system in the factory, and when I asked if we could computerize the calculations made by our draftsmen in designing the O-ring molds. Nothing came of this request. I also proposed the purchase of a computerized drafting station, but this was too expensive in 1980. My next posting was with Engineers, Instruments and Hydraulic Units, two joint venture companies between Malta and Czechoslovakia. Our far-sighted chairman asked me and the financial controller to look into buying a mainframe computer. We sold it for an ICL machine, an expensive investment. It was a big machine with a fraction of the power of a modern PC, using hard disks that were several inches in diameter. Just before placing the order, government issued a circular whereby all governmental and parastatal entities were enjoined to use the computer services offered by the recently set up center at Swatara, limits of Dingley. Since we had already ordered our machine, we were allowed to carry on with our computerization project. Having ordered the hardware, we needed software. To my utter astonishment, our supplier informed me that they were still writing their first accounting program, some stock control program. Now, how was I to explain to my board of directors that we had spent all that money on a computer which we could not use? The problem was solved when our financial controller was sent on a COBOL course and came back and wrote the first program in-house. Later, more software was written by his successor and staff, who also underwent in-house COBOL courses. When I joined university in February 1987, the faculty had a lab with a few PCs available to members of staff. But you had to have your own floppy disk with the DOS operating software on it, which you inserted into the machine on startup. The next up after this was an ACAD station, AutoCAD or drafting station with a PC and two monitors for drafting, which I encouraged my design students to use, but I left it to them to choose whether to produce their drawings manually or by computer. Of course, today, manual drafting, unfortunately, perhaps, is a thing of the past. In 1989, while still at university, I was appointed to manage multi-university services. For a time, MUS produced all the EIAs that were being requested first by the Parliamentary Secretary for the Environment and later by the Planning Authority. This involved producing colored maps, which for a time we produced by hand, a laborious process, until we bought a digitizing machine. And after we bought the digitizing machine, the Planning Authority started insisting that all maps had to be provided in digital format. I think my time is up, so to squeeze 50 years of technological development to 15 minutes, and I've worked that out that works out to 0.6 parts per million, I had to skim over and leave out much, especially considering how much development has taken place. However, the hope is that this paper will have brought back some memories to the older generation and some insights of how we lived to the younger ones. And since I've looked at the past, I now finish with a look at the future. That's a solar-powered boat that was in Malta some years ago.
U minn dik it-taħdita se ngħaddu issa biex inkomplu nitkellmu mal-Professur Konrad Tejk, jekk tiftakru l-ġimgħa l-oħra qegħdin nitkellmu dwar paper interessanti huwa preżenta fil-Proceedings tal-History Week tal-sena 2013 li ġew ippubblikati nistgħu ngħidu ftit tal-ġimgħa ilu u kon qegħdin nitkellmu ftit dwar l-influwenza Spanjola fl-arkitettura. Allura x'kienet ir-rabta konna qegħdin nitkellmu dwar dan il-karattru dwar dan il-figura importanti Tommaso d'Ingli f'pajjiż. Kif waslu l-influenzi Spanjoli f'dan il-
Di domanda għandu dwek, l-Ingliżi jgħidu a loaded question, mhux m'hemmx tweġiba diretta li hu interessanti li Tommaso d'Ingli kien qed jaħdem f'dak li qisu time warp għandu dwek. Ġifieri huwa ma kienx qisu t-tip ta' arkitettura tiegħu u l-background tiegħu kien bħala wieħed li kien skalpellino, ġifieri kien bniedem minn sożitu li kien trabba litteralment jiskolpixxi l-ġebla. U kellu relazzjoni wkoll kien xatt tal-familja li kien xi kanonku anki fil-Knisja tal-Birkirkara. Issa, ma nafux ma naħsbux li Tommaso d'Ingli kien studja barra jew kellu xi kuntatt għandu dwek ma xi akkademja, jiġifieri li tal-ma kważi eskluża. Fil-fatt ħafna mix-xogħlijiet ta' Tommaso d'Ingli kienu għall-Knisja Djoċesana, jiġifieri għalkemm kien għamel wieħed mill-bibin tal-Belt portali ftit li xejn ħadem għall-kavalleri għall-ordni. Jiġifieri Toski arkitett li kien iktar li kienu xogħlijiet tiegħu kienu jiġu kummissjoni mill-Knisja.
Kombinazzjoni ma jew kien hemm.
Fini din naraw anke iktar il-qudiem x'preżempju Lorenzo Gafà, ħafna mix-xogħlijiet tiegħu ngħidlek iktar minn 85% saru għall-Knisja Maltija, ġifieri tinsiex il-kavalleri forsi kien hemm element daqsxejn ta' snobbiżmu wkoll li jekk ikollhom l-opportunità li jkun hemm arkitett jew inġinier barrani jew pittur barrani kienu jħossu li qed ikunu iktar għall-avangwardja jew xi ħaġa iktar għalkemm kien hemm ftit eċċessjonijiet ta' Ġerolmo Kassar Malti kien, biex Ġerolmo Kassar kien isu għall-ewwel l-assistent tal-apparelli. Ġifieri jien għal Tommaso d'Ingli nara, ġifieri dak li kien qed jagħmel hu, dak qed ngħidu Tommaso d'Ingli twieled fl-1592 ta' Klinħawi u l-iktar li ħadem kien fil-bidu tas-seklu 17, ġifieri għax-xogħol li kien qed jagħmel fis-seklu 17. Dak kienu fix-xena Ewropea passé kienu xi ħaġa li saru 150 sena qabel. Ġifieri ma kienx qed jagħmel xogħol li kien għandu hekk pioneering jew cutting edge. Imma kien qed jagħmel xogħol li ovvjament kellu ċerta knowledge li issa għandu forsi ċerta trattati tar-Rinaxximent Taljan bħala Alberti Wekkin jew Vignola kien familjari magħhom. Bissu bad naħseb f'xi mod kien intaqa' issa jew ma' maestri oħrajn, forsi kien hawn kien qed jaħdmu hawnhekk f'dik il-perjodi jew kellu xi konnessjonijiet ma' min ta' ix-xogħol l-inkarigu, ċerta influenzi li hemmhekk naħseb jidħol dak id-dekorattiv intens issa. Din isibuha wkoll, pereżempju, anke f'dak li nagħdulhom riridos jew ħafna ċerta kappelli tal-art tal-Maġġur jew artali li jkollhom ħafna dekorazzjoni intensa ħafna. Issa l-arkitettura Spanjola hemm perjodu mhux il-plateresk iktar tard li jidhru iċ-ċiriguaresk. Iċ-ċiriguaresk kienu semmi hekk wara familja ta' skulturi ċiriguara li fejn litteralment inti il-faċċata kollha jew tal-Knisja jew ġewwa tkun mimlija kollha dekorazzjoni fejn ma jkollekx laqas pulsier ta' ġebla vojt. Fejn inti kważi l-istruttura jew il-kompożizzjoni tagħha tkun kompletament mottija jew mitlufa bid-dekorazzjoni. Et tifhem ċivil dan huwa l-element ta' ċiriguaresk li bad kien esportat anke tal-postijiet fil-koloniji l-Amerikani, il-Mexiko, Peru, dal-postijiet ċiriguaresk u postijiet oħrajn. Biss aħna ma kenniex ċiriguaresk u Malta għandu hekk bħala lepo issa.
Ħana ħawa fek waħdek tippermettili. Din l-idea li dejjem ngħidu li l-movimenti tal-arti jaslu f'Malta tard. Akademikament tagħmel sens jew argument.
Naħseb dvarja, għani dwek dvarja, ġveri għana tu żewġ eżempji. Ġifieri fil-każ ta' Thomas Dingley ċertament li ġifieri mhux b'sens ta' li kien inferjuri, ma ta' kien iżolat. Mal-Malta kienet ukoll fuq the periphery ledge, fuq il-periferija wkoll, ġifieri ma nistax nippretendu
li
dak qed jagħmel fil-epoka tal-barokk Bernin u Boromin qed isir dak li ġifieri kellek time lag, kien hemm dak xejn time lag sakemm ċerta l-edat kienu jinfiltraw, il-fatt li kellek l-ordni tal-kavalleri li kienet ovvjament komposta. Minn dal kavalleri minn kull ħafna nazzjoni fl-Ewropa kien qed tgħin biex tiffaċilita l-infiltrazzjoni ta' dal-idejat. Ġil kien hemm perjodu, issa se morru oltre dal-perjodu, pereżempju qed nsemmu l-perjodu Ingliż meta kien hemm pereżempju l-bini tas-suq tal-Belt, pereżempju. L-tip ta' struttura li bniet fl-epoka wara l-rivoluzzjoni industrijali kienet pjuttost litteralment okkurant ma dak li qed jiġri ġewwa Pariġi jew barra minn hemm. Jiġifieri kellek perjodi fejn konna isna pari passu, imma it-tendenza naħseb kienet ukoll li sakemm l-idejat kif jgħidu dej percolate, jinfiltraw jgħaddu, naħseb jeżistex il-fatt anki ekwet jara l-barokk f'Malta meta il-Berġa ta' Kastilja bniet fl-1800 Pinto. Il-barokk fl-Ewropa kien diġà passejhom neoklassiċiżmu ħawver, ġifieri naħseb hija ta' xejn ta' tendenza li kien hemm that time legs.
Fil-qasir ħafna, dan għad fajna l-ewwel żerrija jew taħseb li dan huwa suġġett?
Le, jiena suġġett li għad trid jiġi esplorat ħafna ġuni għamil ta' ċara li dana b'xi mod kważi rid nerġa' inniggess reġa' nqajjem id-dibattitu. Ovvjament tkun hemm nies riċerkaturi anke minn riċerkaturi Spanjoli forsi. L-aċċessibilità tal-arkivi, anke biex dawn qed nitkellmu ħafna minnhom arkivi li qegħdin Spanja probabbli, ġifieri, l-arkivi tagħna ormaj ġifieri naħseb hija area for further exploration, ġifieri provat nqajjem ċerta konċetti u nagħti indikazzjonijiet, pereżempju ħaġa oħra li ma semmejtx li interessanti, pereżempju hemm trattati ta' architett artist magħruf Spanjol, Carmel Lokowitz, kull jom da xejn parti Spanjol u parti anke isu Pollak, li dak kien ivvinta l-ordni obliqua. X'inhi l-ordni obliqua? Ġifieri pereżempju jista' jkollok litteralment bala vostil, pereżempju, li minflok huma normali, dritti, vertikali, huma jisom distorti tali mod li l-boċċa tal-bala vostra tiġi parallela mas-sopra bank. Ġifieri u din għandna osservawha pereżempju f'ċerta ftit mill-ċerta binijiet, pereżempju l-binijiet ta' fejn il-Mużew tal-Fine Arts għand juża di l-ordni obliqua li kienet xi ħaġa li dan l-arkitett li kien qassis ukoll Spanjol kien qed jippromovi. Ġifieri dan huma kollha indikazzjonijiet li forsi li nistgħu mmorru forsi oltre, ġifieri l-arkitettura, speċjalment fil-perjodu tal-kavalleri, ma kienx ħaġa monolitika, ma kellek strains kulturali diversi.
U naħseb wieħed ukoll irid jaqgħod id-dixxiplini biex jasal imbagħad tal-iktar konklużjonijiet. Grazzi ħafna lill-Professur Konrad Tejk, infakkarkom tkellimna fuq żewġ intervisti qosra, però naħseb la dubju ta' xejn kienu interessanti immens dwar l-artiklu tiegħu Leader fil-Proceedings of History Week 2013, Influences of the Spanish Plateresque on Maltese Ecclesiastical Architecture. Grazzi lil Samuel tard tal-bilanċ tekniku. Insemmilkom. Smajtu 51. Program fuq Campus FM miġu plilkom mill-Malta Historical Society. Prezentazzjoni, produzzjoni, Sergio Grech.